Hello friends, this is the Yarra River Keeper podcast, recording on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation. I'm Katrina. In this four-part series, we will bring you stories of the friends groups that care for and protect the Gardiners Creek Kuyong Kooch catchment. In this third episode, we're going to speak to Sam from Urban Gorillas, which is quite a new and up-and-coming group, more targeted towards the younger generation to capture the energy, enthusiasm and passion to regenerate and restore their local creek lands. I'm here today with Sam from Urban Gorillas.
Hello.
Yeah. And he's part of the Kuyong Kooch Alliance. Sam, would you like to give a little introduction of yourself and Urban Gorillas and how you got involved and
A
bit of background?
Yeah, hello. My name's Sam from Urban Gorillas. We've been sort of establishing ourselves since late October last year.
Yep.
Trying to get like a grassroots sort of foundation happening. We've been building connections with Kuyong Kooch Alliance, River Keeper, yourself, getting into touch with Deakin, trying to get more affiliated with those sort of organisations.
How did you get in contact with Kuyong Kooch and Yarra? My understanding is that you started Urban Gorillas?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Can you give us a bit of a story about how that?
It was so weird. Like, I was working Glassback, the safety manager. I owe people like different connections and different conversations. You never know where it's going to lead. And I just got talking to him about what I wanted to do. And he's like, oh, I got like this guy who does tree planting, Graham.
Okay.
I was like, oh, yeah, cool. Like, I'd love to get involved. Well, swing your number. And then just started talking to Graham like over the phone. Come down like on the Friday, we're doing some planting. Love to have a chat. Like, cool. Went down there, doing some planting. And then over time, he got some other people to come along, like around my age.
What's your age, my approximately?
My age, 26.
Yeah.
Pronouns he, him. Just sort of got interacted with more uni students who are like-minded, which is awesome. And just started chatting and we came up with a idea of Urban Gorillas. Like, it wasn't a single individual decision. Like, it was at the time, it was very collective. Like, we just had a chat, like, yeah, it'd be cool to just got like a youth based sort of grassroots project underway. We came with the name Urban Gorillas.
And what would you say, what the main thing that Urban Gorillas do?
Our values definitely revolve around increasing biodiversity. That's like priority, not like one. And I guess if you want to go down scale, 1.5 is climate change as well. Like, they're all very interconnected, and definitely educating and helping to engage community members who aren't so well informed and who are young and sort of looking to build purpose as well. I think that'd be a very great direction.
Why is biodiversity important to you? Because some people hear biodiversity and be like, that's a word I've heard. I do not know the meaning.
Yes. Biodiversity is, I guess, the interrelationships between ecosystems, both small and large. And with purely accepting the fact that we're connected to nature, I guess that's sort of more of a human aspect of it. But like, biodiversity within itself is how ecosystems react according to each other. So like, if you remove species, another species will probably fall. And they're all very layered and very codependent on each other to survive. And reintroducing biodiversity back into Melbourne's landscape, which has been absolutely smashed by urbanisation, and just increasing those corridors for animals and plants, fungi, just actually re-establish a lot of it's lost.
I've been hearing a lot of that in as I'm learning. There are all these little islands that are barely surviving. And then if we strengthen those little islands and then build a little pathway that links them, then that will help strengthen what is existing and then build resilience. And then I was talking to someone else. She's like, I'm planting these trees for my great-grandchildren who I'll never meet, so they can enjoy birds that will need these trees for habitat. And I was like, wow, that is so forward-thinking that you are planting these trees for people you'll never meet. And that was really heartwarming that people will think like that.
That's sort of what my mentality goes into as well. It's a legacy thing. Like, and to know that the life that you live now, it's impermanent. Like, you'll live here, you'll go, you'll die. And it's those everlasting, like, nature. it'll be there longer than you. And I think to really respect that and to have an understanding of that shows through like this conservation work.
Mm.
And this, like, I love like the indigenous aspect of it, mm-hmm. the interconnectedness to it. You don't control it, you're part of it. Yeah, the legacy thing, planting a tree, I think that's beautiful. Those conversations with biodiversity and climate change, people think they're heavy topics, like, which they can be if you have them all the time. But to completely ignore them, then you're not doing anyone justice. Like, those conversations have to be had.
Yeah, I agree completely. So since starting Urban Gorillas, you said it's been like pretty collaborative and working together. How many people have been involved, do you think?
The process is it's a small handful, probably like 10
mm-hmm.
or so. Like, I've come and gone, helped.
Yeah.
At the moment, I'm trying to build up more groundwork to sort of more consistent hands, which is kind of hard to find, surprisingly. Mm. I hope that through Deakin and Kukan Alliance and Yarra River Keeper, that we can find all we need to start off 5 to 8 sort of consistent people to help drive it forward, and the rest will sort of follow. That's where I'm heading now. I would say about 10.
And for people, what sort of jobs or roles do you need to drive things forward?
I think engaging with a lot of friends of groups would be one. Mm-hmm. I think getting in ties with those and finding where, like, hot spots for revegetation, hot spots for increasing biodiversity. One person or 5 people can't do it all. It's more ears to the ground, more eyes in the environment. Mm-hmm. Oh wow, this spot's really cool, this would be great. And then basically call in Urban Gorillas and say, look, we've got this place, and then we'll come in, talk to council, of course, talk to Indigenous cult, like VAHC, to Melbourne Water, and just say, look, we've got this place, can we do it?
Okay. To anyone listening, if any of that sounds interested in getting involved, how they get in contact with you?
We have a Facebook group, just Urban Gorillas, but gorilla as in sort of the warfare one, with UEGURRILLAS. And I've made 2 groups, and I haven't cancelled the other one, so it says wrong one. Don't click that one.
Is there an email?
There is an email. It's just the same, like Urban Gorillas, lowercase.sam@gmail.com. Because Urban Gorillas was already taken.
So it's urbangorillas.sam@gmail.com.
Yeah.
So you mentioned you talk with different organisations as part of Urban Gorillas. Mm-hmm. Would you like to expand on that?
So I definitely want to give a big shout out to Graham Ross. He's been a massive help along the way, sort of been mentoring me.
So Graham Ross from Kuyong Kut Alliance?
Yes. Being a big driver for this sort of, mentoring me along the way, giving me contacts, which I really appreciate. Mm-hmm. Like he said, that talk to council members. Like he let me do the work. Mm-hmm. He just sort of told me sort of what direction to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Those went a long way. Like it was a pretty long process to get it done. First meeting with them, just talking about the site, because the site we're working on now is across Lewin Reserve, near Glen Iris. It's Glen Iris Wetlands, just behind Taronga Village, Gardens Creek Bike Track. Yeah, we're doing planting. There's a storm drain that runs out of there.
Yeah,
and it feeds into the Gardens Creek. It's like this weird grey area between Melbourne Water and Burundi Council. We tried to do it, but it doesn't really work. And with Urban Gorillas, we can do it looking at EVCs, so ecological vegetation classes, which I've also had to do my own homework on to figure out what to plant and make sure they're in line with Melbourne Water's incentive programs as well. Like, they want to make sure there's a continuum between Burundara's original spot and where it picks up. So there's this weird sort of spot in Gardens Creek where it just screams for biodiversity. It's just little weeds, invasive shrubs. Like, it really honing in on the appropriate plants to use.
Yeah.
Looking at what was there originally. A great book to reference is The Flora of Melbourne, and it shows plants before colonization and after colonization. And you can sort of see how the land would respond, or plants would respond to the land and vice versa. It gives you that index to use.
So the plants, at the moment, they're only a few types of plants. So the plants that you're intending to plant, do you know what sort of habitats, what animals they would attract, or is that in the guidebook?
A lot of shrubs are missing from Melbourne's landscapes.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see a lot of noisy miners, lorikeets, common miners.
Yeah.
You'll see them around, but they prefer large, accessible eucalypt type trees.
Yeah.
Like, they're coming from the sides.
Yeah.
Whereas you get like a lot of small thornbills, those small shrub birds that need the protection of the shrubs. So like those noisy miners and like in blackbirds, they will avoid those mostly, whereas like, because
they've got nowhere to hide.
Yeah, well, like those small birds, they need that breed to live, to thrive, and to reestablish more of that along the creek would be beneficial.
That would attract more of the different kinds of birds.
Yeah,
and
give them opportunities to live, kind of, as well as you got different, like, we will plant grasses, sedges as well.
What's sedges?
Sedges are like sort of, they grow near water for like that more moist habitat. It's really a ground up explanation. Like if you plant the tree, if you plant the right plants, then invertebrates would follow. And then after that, you get birds, you get reptiles.
Yeah.
And it allows this ecosystem to actually evolve, to actually exist. And that's the whole point of biodiversity. If you want to use that as the explanation, like that's the whole point. Like it's just allowing that system to exist, giving it the best shot to survive.
Yeah, thanks for that. Because breaking it down into invertebrates, birds, reptiles really help explain ecosystems and biodiversity.
There's a lot to it, but it's just the fundamental principle. Like you can't build an environment without having the things that there need to exist. Like you can't have lizards and frogs and all these animals without plants. Like you just need that starting from the ground up.
Yeah.
Is the best way to do it.
Yeah. Because we all love animals. We always
love them.
It's so exciting when we see a frog or a lizard.
Dude, I lose my mind when I see frogs at work. I'm a big frog guy. It's so cute.
I haven't had the chance to see a frog, but I think that's just indicative of the environment that I live in, that it's so urbanized, there's not enough plants.
Mm.
So I would love to...
Opportunity to see frogs, more frogs?
Yeah, or like create habitat so there can be more frogs around.
Mm.
And yeah.
And I feel like there's definitely a human element to it as well. Like it's great to have it for the environment, for nature, but like when people ask me, like, oh, where do you want to go on your break?
Yeah.
They don't say, like, I want to go, like, into the, like, oh, they might say into the city, but I'd say 80% of responses, like, I want to go into, like, the bush.
Yeah.
I want to go camping. Yeah. Or, like, I want to go out in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it speaks volumes of what we really want, like, to have a more green Melbourne.
Yeah.
More urban. Like, it's less urbanized. And, like, just go in there, you actually feel like you're escaping when you go for a walk.
Well,
I think that'd be nice.
Yeah, I think that humans are not designed to stay in one place. Like we're designed to wander.
Hmm.
And
it is like humans have that natural ability to be curious.
Yeah.
And to explore, to shy away from that natural thirst thing. It's just
like that's why people are constantly working or like thirsting for the next new iPhone or whatever because they want that thrill of something new when they're just so removed from their natural state that they're channeling that thirst of curiosity towards something technological rather than nature. But
I love the thing that nature does as well. It slows you down.
Mm.
Like if you ever stand in a forest, you can just breathe. Yeah. Like you can just, and it just feels, you're in the moment. Like you're actually in there. Like you feel a part of it. And if you get the hustle and bustle in the city, it sort of wipes it away a bit.
I find being in a city, although it can be fun and exciting and exhilarating and stimulating, sometimes it can be overstimulating and overwhelming, and then it just gets too much. So I like your idea of being in a forest and just being surrounded by the different sounds and textures. Like it's not just sounds of animals, it's leaves and water dripping and and then the different smells and
it's capturing, like it's you're immersed in it.
It's absolute, completely sensorial. It's not just eyes, it's touch and smell and sounds and temperature and
I love it. Like I reckon I'll go to the Dandenongs next weekend. Just for that pure just relaxation and I guess that connectedness to it. Like you can just stand there and feel like it's warping around you, like it's from head to toe.
Yeah.
Through the senses.
Yeah.
I wish we were in the forest right now.
Yeah.
Like surrounded by mist, even though it's like raining.
Mm.
Rain is gross when you're in the city, but when you're in a forest, it's kind of nice because you hear it's like pitter-patter of the leaves and then hitting like the soil,
Even the smell of rain. I love the smell of rain.
I wish they could capture it, put it in the perfume, but they can't because...
Nature.
Yeah.
They come close, but it's not the same.
Yeah. So Urban Gorillas has one site planned for somewhere in...
Yeah, it's Glen Iris, Lewin Reserve behind Taronga Village. It's kind of hard to give an accurate location.
Yes.
It's like a drop pin. It's just like, there it is.
And what other sites have you worked on in the past?
I worked with, or I'll be working with as well, Deakin and Kuanku Alliance. I've worked with Graham's old company as well, just doing some planting around, essentially where it is, around Kuyong area. We've helped Ruth, back to Nettleton, helped with them. And just like, building those connections, like making them stronger, like Urban Gorillas, and said, hey, like, there's an extra project on the way, like, who's got a spare pair of hands?
Yeah.
Let's get it.
Awesome. It's also such a fun, satisfying way to spend just the morning of a weekend. I've done my good deed for the week.
Yeah.
I can go off and do whatever now.
Be stupid and naughty.
I've done good this weekend, so I can go and enjoy the rest of the weekend.
That's good.
I don't have to feel guilty. Thanks so much for coming in to chat, Sam.
Thank you.
And Sam, if people would like to get involved, what are the details on how they could get in touch?
There's probably one or two ways. You can find us on Facebook at Urban Gorillas, or you can email urbangorillas.sam@gmail.com.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks again, and thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks. If you'd like to get involved, there's actually going to be a planting on Saturday, 16th of July. Check it out on Facebook and hope to see you there.